Oh, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know if you noticed, I started chuckling. Like, it just feels really funny to talk about these things, especially that we say, thanks be to God, at these kinds of endings. Preaching professor Barbara Brown Taylor reminded me this week that of all the gospel writers, Matthew is the one who waxes eloquent about the end of the world. He's the only one that mentions a furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. His is the only gospel that contains those wise and foolish virgins, the division from the sheep, from the goats, and today's comparison of weeds versus wheat. Of all the gospel writers, it is Matthew who wants a clear-cut creation where things are black or white, good or bad, in which people are faithful or wicked, blessed or cursed. And for those early Christians, those persecuted disciples, this was a comforting message to hear. Insider versus outsider, those with the ears to hear. Never mind that there seem to be a lot of weeds in the world right now. Hang in there and be patient. On the last day, the wheat will be vindicated while the weeds go up in smoke. This gospel, I think, is a little less comforting now, especially when through our Lutheran lens of looking at things, we, our neighbors, our nation, our world, we are a mix of weeds and wheat. Weedy wheat, really. Saint and sinner. Sometimes our ears work great, and sometimes they're full of distraction. Huh? What'd you say? And so what are we to do with this parable? We're back in the same place we were last week. This time, instead of soil quality, we're dealing with the plants themselves. Weeds versus wheat. Native versus invasive. And the invasive Jesus names in this parable was well known to those Palestinian farmers. Like I talked about with the kids, darnel was related to wheat. It looks like wheat. It hides in with the wheat, but it is super poisonous. Darnel can cause blindness and even death if too many of its little seeds end up in the bread dough. This farmer is super quirky in a way I really appreciate. They paranoidly claim that the enemy planted the weeds among their wheat. I want that on a bumper sticker. It's the enemy's fault. They came in the dead of night. As this year continues to be and feel so profound, a couple weeks ago, while I was on vacation at Bethany Beach, I bought a keychain that says, "Not today, Satan." Actually, I bought four, and I've been passing them out. We need it. Evil feels so real right now. And I appreciate that it's very pointed and maniacal in this parable. It's like a cartoon supervillain. I really wish it was this cut and dry. A scapegoat to place all of our blame. A noxious evil weed that needs to die an awful death. And someday, all of this grossness and pain and suffering we are living with will be burned up. Yes, please. I will make popcorn for this event, and you are invited to join me. Jesus' farmer's solution to the enemy weeds is really surprising and maddening. When these slaves offer to go through and uproot all the darnel, make their lives a little easier, the farmer says, no, let the weeds and wheat grow together and we'll sort it out at harvest time. As any master gardener will tell you, this is not proper practice. You want to get those weeds out before they establish themselves. You pull the dandelions before they go to seed, and dandelions have a really long root system too. It's a challenge to pull them out. But you want to do it. Otherwise, your yard will look like our bulletin cover. The same with Queen Anne's lace, right? English ivy. If you don't pull them out now, they take over and spread until they dominate everything they touch. So what's the upshot here? Why let the weeds live? What's the point? of this parable. Well, if we take Jesus at his word, that at the end, all enemy evil will burn in a fiery furnace, perhaps this parable is the most epic example of God's grace for us. Despite our weediness, we are allowed to live in hopes that the wheat will prevail. The number one rule in community organizing is there are no permanent allies or enemies. We're all just people. And we are capable of evil, but we also have great capacity for good. In the end, God promises the good will win out, rise above, flourish beyond our wildest dreams, and feed our neighbors delicious bread from fiery ovens. Going along with this plant analogy of invasive and native, I think there's this middle gray category of it depends. One of my farming parishioners in rural Minnesota liked to share his complaints about the government, aka the DNR, who thought they knew what was best from their high-rise office in the big city. In the 70s, they told the farmers to pull out all of the milkweed. And now Roger was just fit to be tied because now they want the farmers to plant the weeds again. They just can't make up their minds. What was once thought to be a weed is now a superpower plant that brings life to the monarch butterfly pollinator ecosystem that we so desperately need in this current moment that even Cheerios had a campaign of plant milkweed. I love that there's so much milkweed on the church property. And this is the best time of year to notice it because it's so tall and you can see the pods. And they have these beautiful, very fragrant purple flowers. But they are weeds. It makes me think about other weeds I admire. Morning glories with their winding vines and beautiful white and purple and blue flowers. The tenacious dandelion. Yes, it is invasive, but it's also edible from leaf to root. It's bright, bold yellow color, and they're slightly magical, right? All of us have a childhood memory of plucking one and its beautiful, playful, seedy puffball and making a wish and going, much to your parents' dismay. The dandelion has actually become a mascot in preschool because in chapel I taught them this song. Help us to be your breeze of love, to blow your kindness all around till justice pops up like dandelions. Dandelions pops up like dandelions. There's actually a dance that goes with it. I'm not going to demonstrate it now, but we can practice in the fellowship hall if you'd like. But dandelions, of all things, as an illustration of how justice grows and love and kindness move among us. I wonder if this parable reminds us that even the weeds have value in the kingdom of God, that we cannot yet understand or fathom. And for all of that mystery, all we can say is thanks be to God. But in the meantime, as we wrestle with the weeds and all the things in between, I found this little litany from a Jesuit priest, Michael Moynihan, and it was a good reminder to me that may we continue to hold the tension and paradox and mystery and frustration of weeds and wheat, evil and goodness, beauty and suffering. And so I invite you at the end of each phrase to repeat with me, let them grow together. Let them grow together. A litany of contradictory things. Disciples prone to boasts and betrayals, let them grow together. People of God who wound and heal, let them grow together. Those whose thinking is similar and contrary, let them grow together. Those whose feelings are transparent or concealed, let them grow together. Days of sparseness and days of plenty, let them grow together. All the seasons of one's life, let them grow together. Joys and sorrow, laughter and tears, let them grow together. Strength and weakness, let them grow together. Doubt and faith, denial and commitment, let them grow together. Preoccupation and freedom, contemplation and action, let them grow together. Receiving and giving, the helpful and the helpless, let them grow together. Wisdom of the East and West, all contraries of our God, let them grow together. Amen. Thanks be to God.